Many of you know Francis Cardullo. He's been a part of youth or excelling spiritually. And maybe he's too old to go to those. I don't know. But he does have a wonderful testimony that he'd like to share with us. So, Francis.
All right. Morning. So this is about a month ago. Started on a Monday. I'll give a try to make this a little bit quick. But I also try to, anytime I'm reflecting on something that's happened in my life, I like to try to find the point. What can I do better next time? Or what was the point for that? So I'll kind of focus on that as well. But started about a month ago, Monday morning, going to work, and my left shoulder starts hurting a little bit. But it was sore. But that's okay. We deal with that every day, right? Didn't even pray for it. Didn't even deal with it. It's okay. I'll put up with it. Go through the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Starting to avoid the shoulder a little bit, but it's okay. I'll deal with it till it gets better. It'll be fine. Gets to Friday. By the end of Friday, I can't even, it's like, oh, this is really starting to hurt. Get to Saturday morning. I wake up Saturday morning and the shoulder is completely locked up. It is immobilized. The left arm does not raise an inch. It's done. And yes, it hurts a lot. So found a physical therapist on a Saturday morning. Hey, what's going on here? They said, oh yeah, your rotator cuff, it's really inflamed. You're good, just ice it, and when the ice comes down, when the swelling comes down, come see me, and we'll get it moving again. Meanwhile, I'm just kind of like, Unfortunately, the ice didn't work. Now, bear in mind, I still haven't prayed for it. It was like, I'm just going to deal with it for, we just put up with it, because it's not that bad. Sunday morning, it was that bad, so I got in the car, driving with one hand, doing this, reaching over and hitting the turn signal on this side with the right arm because I can't move my left. Come in on Sunday morning, and I tell you, I need help. I need you to minister to this, because now it's that bad. Pain had gotten to the point where I couldn't even sleep anymore. It was just constant throbbing pain, and you couldn't move your shoulder. So Tanya and Joey ministered to that and a few other things, and we were getting it taken care of, and the message that I heard was not the one I wanted to hear. It's going to take some time. It's never the one you want to hear. It's going to take some time. No, I don't want it to take time. I'm in pain now. I want it to be, come on, I want it done right now, right? And it's going to take some time. So the most important thing in that moment is not to lose hope. Keep our eye on what was promised. So I go home. It's going to take some time. Okay. Sunday night, I'm in so much pain. Patriots are my hometown team. Couldn't even watch the Super Bowl. Just sitting on the couch, couldn't even focus on the TV. Just turned it off. So it was not comfortable and not exactly what I wanted for time. Monday morning, okay, I'm going to do my part. Found miracle of all miracles, got an appointment with my doctor at 10 a.m. that morning, immediately. So got in to see the doctor, took x-rays, got a steroid shot. All right, man, that's going to fix it. Nope. 2 days later, the steroids are finally taking effect. It's fine. The swelling is finally starting to go down. Doctor comes back with the x-ray diagnosis. And for you medical folks, it was adhesive capsulitis, adhesions in the shoulder or calcification in the tendons, whatever that means. Meant the shoulder didn't move to me. Oddly enough, at the time, I didn't do what everyone my age does these days, and I didn't look it up online to see what that meant. He just said, you can start physical therapy immediately. I said, great. Thursday morning, I was in physical therapy. Let's do this. I said, is it going to hurt? He said, yeah, here's some painkillers. I didn't need the painkillers, as it turned out. But going to physical therapy, and I'll kind of back up a little bit and say that if I had looked up the diagnosis online, it would have said 6 to 12 months for full recovery. A month just to get your shoulder at full range of motion again. So, yeah, good thing I didn't look that up. Walking into physical therapy, eyes still on the prize. It's going to take some time, but hey, I want my healing. And God's going to do a great work in this. So going to the physical therapy on, now it is a Thursday, and they start working the shoulder. She says, you're going to be really sore tomorrow. See you tomorrow. Tomorrow I was not really sore. Come in Friday, all right, let's get at this. Still can't lift my arm. They've gotten it to where they can pick the arm up a little bit, But I couldn't. I could not physically lift my arm. By the end of Friday's second physical therapy session, I had my arm up this high. Over the weekend, those gains solidified. Monday, I come in. He said, "How was the weekend?" I said, "Great." Guy kind of looks at me like, okay, let's do some tests. Not sure what to do now. This is not, we're deviating from the treatment course. Spends basically all day Monday just testing to see how far the gains were. Can you do a push-up? Can you do a pull-up? Yes. Yes, I can. Wednesday was my next physical therapy session. 4 days. Four sessions. I was discharged. You're done. Full range of motion restored. Full strength. Everything is fine. Here's some bands. Keep working on, you know, keep working on strengthening it. So, Casey, if you want to put up that picture, 2 weeks later, I'm at a work event playing dodgeball archery. Yes, it is exactly what it sounds like, taking a bow and arrow under combat conditions and shooting it at people. So that would be the shoulder that God healed in not 6 months, but a week and a half. So that's my testimony.
Praise and worship this morning. Woo! We need more of that. In fact, we should just do that every week at 10 o'clock. And if nobody comes but Tim Beelen and I, we will have a great time, won't we, Tim? Soaking with the Lord. Because it does. It softens up your heart. I wanted to, where Francis was speaking about this testimony, he came in, you know, he played it chill like men do. But when he looked at me, he had tears in his eyes. He was in that much pain. And then he kind of gathered himself. He goes, "I'm good, I'm good. I just need you to minister to me." And I'm like, "Well, okay, we'll do it afterwards." So he's sitting in this back row. And I was going to ask Jake to help me, Jake Salvo. And the Lord said, "No, get Joey." So I said, "Hey, Joey, can you help me? We've got to minister to Francis later," whatever. I'm in the service is going. I don't remember who was teaching. And in the middle of it, the Lord was like, "Are you crazy? Go help that boy already." I was like, okay. So I go back here and he's literally like unbearable pain. And I'm like, "I'm so sorry, Lord, that I just told him to wait and didn't do this right away." And so Joey was right by me. He had been kind of out and around doing things. And all of a sudden there's Joe, he's right there. So we come in the middle of the teaching and we're in the office in the middle here. And bless Francis's heart. Have you ever had pain so bad you can't hardly breathe? That's what he looked like. And we're like, okay, what do you need? Well, he was able to tell us that. I start in, there's a few things and that I took care of. And then I could see where his shoulder, it looked like it had been torn apart, like it was mesh and it had been torn apart. And I could see it in the spirit. And the Lord said, "Oh, turn it over to Joey. He knows all about this. He knows all about this." Well, later Joey said, "Yeah, it was the coolest thing. After you said we were going to work with this guy, I kind of went out in the parking lot, took a little chill with the Holy Spirit." And he goes, "The Lord just downloaded it all. He saw it all in the spirit." So I'm like, "Hey, Joey, you want to do a thing here?" And Joey just woo, starts in. Well, one of the things was what Francis said, that it was going to take at least 3 days. And I'm like, "Oh, Lord, you must be mistaken, you know. 3 days. And he was like, "Are you kidding me?" I'm like, he was able to lift his arm before he left. He was able to be outside and not in pain for a while. So we were like really hopeful and excited. Then that night, I'm up at 3 a.m. for 2 or 3 nights praying for him. I kept texting him, "Are you okay?" He's like, "No, I'm not. Like, I'm not okay. I'm in terrible pain." I'm like, "Okay, well, we're still going to believe. We're going to keep ministering." But you know, that's not how you feel like it should go. You want this instant stuff. So he was so gracious to keep in contact with us, and we kept believing the word of the Lord that it was going to get taken care of. And when he started texting me, "You aren't going to believe this," by day 3 or 4, he started to turn. But when he said, and then he sends these pictures of himself doing archery, we're like, "Yeah, you're healed. That's an absolute." But isn't it cool how God will just get the whole body of Christ in something to do a thing for him? And so we don't want to faint in the day of adversity. And I commend Francis for holding his mind through that kind of pain. And, you know, he said, "That's not what I wanted to hear, was it was going to take a minute," which turned into quite a few minutes. But he held his mind and he kept his eyes on the Holy Spirit and the kingdom and what would matter. What mattered was, what did he say? The promise of what was going to happen. Sometimes the Lord reveals things that he has to reveal it a couple times to make a point. Does that happen to you ever? You feel like, I've had this lesson before. This is the third time this week. Maybe I'm not just talking to myself. Right? Does that make sense to anybody? I loved one of the songs today, and she ad-libbed it because I went back and tried to find the lyrics, and it literally took Andy going out and listening to the song. It's not in her lyrics normally. Her name is Pat Barnett, and she did the song Sails. And when I was out here soaking, I heard her say this line, and it stuck in me. But in the lyrics, it's not in there if you Google it. And she, I'm sure she added it from the Holy Spirit. I've spent so many years stuck in my head. I've spent so many years stuck in my head. I couldn't see past myself. But all the time, you were right in front of me, a part of me, inside of me. And that stuck. And she doesn't have that in her regular lyrics. She needs to add that in permanently. And so what do we want to stick? We want whatever God is trying to communicate, whatever the Lord Jesus is trying to communicate, to stick in our head. So the way the Lord works with me a lot is when I'm helping people. Do you find that for yourself? You know, if you're having a rough time with anything, the best thing is to say, Lord, I need somebody. And you know what? You can walk right out on the street and find anybody to engage. And they'll let you pray for them 9 out of 10 times. And they don't even have to have a problem that's visible or audible. But this past week, I got to meet with somebody that was going to get married, an engaged couple. I actually shared this at their wedding. And we were at their house. And we were going to minister and pray together. And a lot of times for me, when I go to minister, it'll just go into something I see in the spirit. It'll be a vision. It'll be prophetic word. I really encourage you to just go there. We're so trained to think, I want this to be decent and in order. You know, and it starts in kindergarten when you sit on the little mat and everybody sits in the reading circle. You know, everybody's going to walk in the straight line. You know, those are all good things. But with the Holy Spirit, you want to be a little wild and free. You get that? A little wild and free. And so I've spent a whole lot of my life waiting on someone to call on me. And that's not going to happen if you want to do some really fun stuff with the Lord. You might get to do a little bit, but you're going to be bored. You're going to miss a whole lot of opportunities. One word from the Holy Spirit can change the directive of a whole life. A whole life. And the Lord, I think, really likes to give people something to picture in the Spirit. And his prophetic words and pictures are so much bigger than we are, that a lot of times that's what you'll see, something like a movie or a picture, and you just have to describe what you're seeing. And so as we started to pray, Jeff and I, with this couple, you know, Father, you know, I don't think we might have got Father out. And bang, Jeff and I were opening up the doors of what I knew was the throne room because of how grand they were and tall they were. And, you know, when kingdom comes into anything, you will recognize it. You will. God always spit shines everything. And Jesus knows how to put attention on anything that needs attention. And so the doors went open. And as Jeff and I walked forward, we just dissipated to the sides. And those two were walking forward to the throne. And it literally appeared to be like a throne with Jesus to the side, to the right side, sitting. And he stood up to greet them. And as they came forward, they had layered capes on them that they really looked pretty and colorful, but that wasn't the point. As they walked forward, they were shedding these capes. It literally looked like someone thumbed a phone book and all this stuff just came off. And they were standing before the throne and before the Lord Jesus. And I thought it was interesting how the Father had him stand up. He put the spotlight on Jesus, and as he stood up, they were before him in white. And immediately, so what happens for me, it maybe doesn't happen for you. That's okay. The Lord will lead you in his way. But I often can feel what people feel or hear what they're thinking. And then I know the Spirit knows how to respond. You know what to do. And as they were standing there, I could hear and feel it in my spirit, kind of a little list that was being run by each of them. Does anybody else ever do that? But I've been married, but I've been divorced, but I've messed things up. But, you know, you don't even have to put a but. All this stuff is present. And when you come into the presence of the kingdom, things just dissipate. They melt away. They have to go. And so I had been anticipating we were going to break some ties. We were going to do some, in the name of Jesus, I divorce this. I rebuke this. I cast this out. I was ready. I'm like, woo, it's going to be fun. And it wasn't like, it was like this. It was so calm. So peaceful. And we just sat there for a few seconds. And I said some of the things that they had shared with me from their past, or I just started to speak some of the things that were in my spirit that I knew they were thinking and feeling. And then this is what was said from the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter. It took Jesus. It doesn't matter. That's what he said. It didn't take this formal, high-pitched, thumping fist, in the name of Jesus. It was Jesus in the throne room saying, it doesn't matter. And Jeff and I both, I said, oh, I'm going to get in this. I'm going to take this for me. Because I had stuff that I could feel that was there. Have you ever had things that you can't even describe? You don't even know what it is? Then this week I had two different, I went on a little house visit and then I had a phone call, and they were almost identical situations in the attack. And as I sat to speak with these people, what was going on, I could feel it. I said, this is what's going on. You're telling me it's depression and oppression. But depression and oppression are a wet blanket that are made up of many things. And I said, the heaviest thing I can feel, and it was for both of them, was this dread. This, I don't know, but something's not right. Something's gonna happen. I can't quite explain it. Not sure what it is. I've been trying to figure it out. Does anybody relate to that? It had been happening for me for a week prior. I was like, Lord, was that really me, or was that a word of knowledge? What was that? But see, the devil's tricky. And he can use emotions and feelings and whisperings, all those kind of things. And when that dread thing came up, they were both like, oh yeah. Oh, yeah. And guess what God said to both of them? Very quietly. It doesn't matter. By the time I got to the third, the first one was the meeting with the couple. The second one was the house visit. The third one was a phone call for the last 2 days. It doesn't matter. And he allowed the folks to share. Let them talk. Let them say. Let them get it out. Fill in some of the blanks. Because there's some things that... Did you hear one of the prophecies today? It might have been one of my children that said something about, tell me the secrets you don't want to tell anyone, something like that. I wrote it down. I will keep all your secrets you're afraid to share. And when you work with the Holy Spirit, he knows things, and he'll bring it up. And so some things got brought up. And you know what? It wasn't like, oh, well, I know something you don't know. It was like, oh, thank God. The one gal got told, you're not crazy. She just break down crying because that stuff had been weighing on her so much, and talking to her and that feeling, all that together felt like a package deal. You're not crazy. And she knew that was God that had to say that to her. And I had him say, it doesn't matter. Can you say it with me? It doesn't matter. It doesn't. Whisper it. It doesn't matter. You know what? There's demons fleeing right now because you said, what backs the it doesn't matter? Who backs the it doesn't matter? Absolutely. It's not a false whispering. It's a whisper with the thunder of heaven behind it. You know, I've been in some really crazy storms as an adult child. How's that? Adult child. Because my child came, I was like, oh, I think I might be a little scared. You ever been in one of those? Where the elements seem more powerful than your little self? Well, Jesus can command all that. He has authority over all that. So I'm like, Lord, what are we going to do this week? All I heard, it doesn't matter. I'm like, okay, well, how are we going to teach them that? What are we going to do to make that legal in the scriptures? So guess what? There's a place. There's a place in Colossians 3. He wants me to hit this dread thing. I want us to mentally attack and be prepared and run to that stuff instead of away from it. Because we're stronger as a church than we've ever been. We are stronger as a church than we've ever been because we move and function out of love. We have talked about this, the catalyst that our foundation and our family is propelled by love. You know, everybody in this room has bills and illnesses they're battling and problems with kids and spouses. I mean, the list is eternal, really. That's why Jesus is at watch. The angels are at watch. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through, right? But, I want to know before. I don't like being in all the messes. I'd rather him send somebody, the scripture speak to me, the Holy Spirit speak to me, and this stuff with dread is very insidious. It's a feeling. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I had it all last week. I thought, what the heck is this? And then you start thinking, oh, is something going to happen with my finances? Are we going to have enough money to take care of the church? Is somebody going to get sick? Like, woe unto you. But then all of a sudden you're in full-blown fear. We don't need any wet blankets, folks. No wet blankets. So recognize some of that stuff. And it's the stuff like that prophecy said where you think, you know what? That's nothing. Don't ignore stuff. You got to speak to it. And I've found it's very true that people either run to the things of the kingdom or they run from it. And they'll find any reason to run from it. Oh, they're doing that prophetic word over there. You know, people in their church, they might say something to you and think God told them to say it. All right, yeah, I'll bring it. They believe in that healing stuff over there. Yeah, let's be loud and proud. Let's not faint back. Let's push forward. So we want to train our mind to withstand the attack, the questions, the accusations, the pressure to respond. It took me about all this week. It took those three different incidences with those people. And then all of a sudden, I had a thought about, and I just heard it in my spirit. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. People matter. You matter. But I'm talking about this stuff that comes from the other kingdom. You can't define it. You can't make sense of it. You don't understand it. It brings confusion. It brings all that other stuff. It doesn't. If you're trying to make decisions and you heard from the Lord and now you can't make the decision because you feel like you're ice skating and you don't know how to ice skate, you know, doesn't everybody think they can ice skate like all those people in the Stars on Ice? And you put those ice skates on, you're like, I'm going to master this. It's not pretty. Like most people give up real quick. The same with roller skating. Your ankles get weak real quick because there's nothing pretty about it. Well, it doesn't. An urgency to complete a list that never ends. An urgency to complete a list that never ends. We're going to do the New Living Translation, guys. Colossians 3, verse 1. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. That's literally what we saw in that first vision with that couple. We went right into the throne room and Jesus stood up. He is the host of the throne room. God said so. Raised to new life. Well, if you're raised to new life, you must have been dead before, right? Talks about crucified. Crucified means dead. Think about the things of heaven. Woohoo, right there. It doesn't. What matters? Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. Making Jesus known is what matters. And we got to do it to ourselves first. So it's alive and real all the time because the attacks keep coming. Skip to verse 10. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like him. Do you know how much stuff came after him? Stood in front of his face, back talking, questioning, spitting. You know, it got really, really bad there at the end, didn't it? And he didn't have to think it doesn't matter. He knew it didn't. He knew it didn't because he was backed by the God that we are in awe of. Did you hear that in the prophecies today? Be in awe of me. That whole prophetic time this morning, I was like chills breaking out. In verse 11, and I love this translation because guess what? In this new life, look what this translation says. It doesn't matter. I jumped up and down my living room because I found what he said. It doesn't matter because he will speak to you in the way you will receive it. If you lived in the medieval times, it was probably, thus saith the Lord, it shall not matter unto you. I don't know what word matter was to them, but I got it when I saw it in NLT. If you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free, Christ is all that matters. Christ is all that matters. And he lives in all of us. I told Sarah 2 days ago, I said, listen, we're going to title this, Does It Matter? Question mark. I said, now ask me when we're done. We might go a whole different way. But for once in my life, we had a title ahead of time. Does it matter? Let me skip to the back and show you something. Go to John 12. John 12, 24. I don't know what I'm reading from, so y'all can just figure it out as we go. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains by itself alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world shall keep it to life eternal. Do you get that? It's called yourself, dying unto Christ. Now, we're not talking about, when he says, choose to die with me, I'm not talking about run your car off the road into a tree. That's not what I'm saying. What does it mean? It means have no love for the things of this world. What does that translate down into even farther is their voice cannot be stronger than the voice of the Lord. When the Father speaks, when the Holy Spirit speaks, when Jesus speaks, it reigns supreme. If an angel speaks, that ought to reign supreme over the world, folks. I think the youth camp this year should be called Interacting with the Kingdom. Interacting with the Kingdom, because there's a whole lot of interaction that can be happening with the Kingdom. And we box it out. And we say, it's this and this and this or that. It's a whole package. And I want to acknowledge it so I can interact with all of it. Matthew 16, 24. If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. When you talk about a cross, that signifies a crucifixion. It signifies die to yourself. Hate the things of the world. Hate this world. You're just a passing through. I'm not talking about hate people. Now, don't get all crazy here, right? But whether you're rich or not, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that Francis took 3 days to get his healing. It doesn't matter. It matters what he said about the promise. If people lie about you, talk about you, it doesn't matter. If your car got repossessed, I'm literally sitting in the back, and this must have happened to some of you because the Lord said, write down this. If your car is repossessed, it does not matter. So somebody has had that happen, or maybe it's going to happen. It doesn't matter, does it? You know, and there's always somebody that thinks that you got something they never did. they got something on you. And they'll come to tell you about it too. or the devil come whisper it too. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You know, with that couple, they had been married before, each of them. A spouse had fallen asleep in Jesus. You know, there was history. They're in their 60s. There was some stuff. It didn't matter. This is what the Lord said about it. I said, well, Lord, you know, what about this and what about this? I started making a case. What about all this? Should we do some, like, prayer deliverance ministry? He said, no, that all happened before deliverance ministry. They'd all had prayer ministry already. I said, okay, well, what about this? What about this? What about that? Here's what the Holy Spirit said. Everybody's crazy. Like it was a statement, like everybody's crazy. So what, you gonna make, you wanna get your list out? I'm like, no, Lord. Y'all crazy without Jesus, right? We all need bowling bumpers for the rest of our life. I mean, really, you ever been to the bowling alley and they put them little bumpers up? And I'm like, man, look at that little kid bowl a strike because they got bumpers. Well, we got bumpers. You got angels lined all the way down either side of the bowling alley. They'll throw your ball, you know, kick it out in the middle like nobody's looking, like, eh, let's get their ball back where it needs to go. They're derailing here. You know, bumpers with Jesus. I don't know, but it's real stuff. The Lord, everybody's crazy. And he said it in a lighthearted way. So what? It doesn't matter as long as you got me. You don't need a monkey on your back. You need Jesus on your back. Doesn't matter. 26, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. You cannot have Jesus without the Father, and you can't have the Father without Jesus. So just get used to it and quit whining and complaining and trying to separate everything out. Right? There you go. He says it very clearly. You know, and I think these words like the cross and the crucifixion are just important. I don't live at the cross. I'm not staying at the cross. The tomb has been opened up, people. Come out of the tomb. Amen. But you still have to look back and see where you came from. I forget what preacher. There's several preachers that make a big, it's Bill Johnson makes a big deal about you. And to know the truth of grace, you got to know what the law was to see the difference, to make it be this reality that's real. Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, what else did we find in here? Galatians 6:14. Did we do that one? May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. You have to be able to go back to those things, but not live there. But appreciate and be thankful. Why do we say thank you, Jesus? Every time I say thank you, Jesus, I can see him on the cross. And in a second, I can say thank you, Jesus, and see him on the road speaking to them, and they didn't even know who he was. You know, the kingdom is always moving. It's interactive. God isn't just going to leave us in death. He leaves us with resurrection, life. He who hates his life in this world shall keep it to life eternal. That fits with seek ye first, right? You know what really matters is God doing something or not. I know that Francis didn't make it through what he did without believing that God was doing something. When he couldn't lift his hand, he knew God was doing something. How does he know? Because the word says so. You know what? Prophets can get it wrong. I can get it wrong. Man can get it wrong. I don't care how good the word is that they gave you. You got to go back and check it with the Holy Scriptures. Check it in your heart with the Holy Spirit. You don't run your life based on what everybody else has said. And if God gives you some big prophetic word and it's life-changing, you know what? By golly, you better know. I've said, Lord, you know, I need you to give me a double check on that. Like, I need another reinforcement on this. And he will do that. And if you don't have an answer, you just wait. You wait. Jesus was the master of, I'll do what you need to do, need me to do, and maybe not know all the answers, right? Now, he knew Lazarus got up from the dead, so that had to be comforting, right? He knew that happened. So I believe we can go into the scriptures and find what we need, and he likes that. He likes when we seek him out in more ways. But I don't want to fall to the wayside of this glory ride. I'm all about the prophetic. I'll speak into your life any darn day you want me to. Everybody in this room ought to be able to walk up to anybody and say, Lord, is there something for them? And just lay it on them, even if it's one word. But they are responsible to check it. They are responsible to say, Lord, what does this mean to me? Does it matter? Are you backing it? One time we were doing flowers at our house, and we were short flowers. So Jeff said, well, I'll drive you to Walmart, which was 20 minutes away, to Sydney, to this Walmart. And he goes, but could you get in there quick and get out quick? And I said, sure, I can do that. There's kids in the car. I mean, the kids are like six. I don't even think we had Kristen yet. Kids are like, I don't know, six and three or something. So I hightail it in there. And you know how the garden center's at the back, right? I am moving. I am fast walking. And I remember acknowledging the person standing there as I proceeded to look at them and turn and walk full bore into a plate glass wall. It was a wall of windows with a door in the middle. And two people were standing in the door. But the glass was so clear, you couldn't tell it was a wall. And they were in the middle, and I just went right around it. I remember looking at them, and I was moving like, I got to get in there and get out, like the 10 minutes. And I walked, I full bore straight into this thing and fell straight back on the ground. Broke my nose, but didn't know it at the time. I mean, I was out, lying on the Walmart floor. I wake up, they're like, they immediately had a paper. I wake up to some guy with a form. Ma'am, will you sign this, please? I was like, what is going on? He's like, do you need an ambulance? I'm like, no, I'm fine. I just need to get some flowers. And, you know, I'm like talking. And I sit there, and they're like, oh, my gosh, they just cleaned those windows. So crystal clear. The two people in the middle, we're so sorry we didn't move, and we're standing. I'm just out of it. I signed their paper, didn't get the flowers, went back out the car. You know, Jeff's like, what's wrong with you? What happened? I'm like, I hit a wall. He's like, what? Years later, I had some sinus issues. And they said, when they went to look at my nose, they said, your nose is broke. You have deviated your septum up here. And they said, more mothers have deviated septums than anybody else because their kids headbutt them, sitting on their lap. Your kid sits on your lap and goes like that and hits you in the nose, and you'll have a deviated septum and you'll snore or whatever. Just silliness, right? It doesn't matter. But it did when I was sitting in the ER that night at the hospital, because I worked in the hospital. So I went down from OB down to the ER, and I'm like, my nose hurts so terrible. And he looked. He said, well, I don't know. I can't see too much, except it was swelled up. It took several years before we figured out what I did. But life is like that. Have you ever hit a wall like that? Because we all like to think we're going to see the wall coming. I did not see that wall coming, and I was down. And one of the folks that I ministered to this week, we saw that in the spirit. And just this morning, I was reminded of the Walmart thing. But for her, she hit a wall, and the Lord had told her previously she was going to hit a wall, and she was like, oh, okay. And she hit the wall and didn't see it. And when we realized it in the spirit, I'm like, Jesus, you got to do something, because what are we going to do? She's laying at the bottom of this wall. What am I going to tell her? It's like she's dead, laying there on the bottom of this wall. And the wall looked like something from a boot camp, you know, like you're never getting over that thing. And the minute I said, Jesus, what am I going to do? The wall turned to glass. And we could see through the wall, and she was lying next to the wall, and Jesus walked up just real peacefully. He looked at her. He didn't say a word. He looked at her lying there. She looked up. And the minute he looked at her, flowers started to come up through the ground. I'll remember it was crocuses and daffodils. And then he went and he I hate these words, laid down. I always look at Sue Dill because she knows grammar very well, or Ellen. He went and he laid down right next to her. And they're just laying by this glass wall. And I said to her, remember all the stuff that you were saying that was going on? And there had been a list of depression and oppression and feeling like I've missed things and I'm in this physical challenge because I didn't do this or that and the other. I said, remember that whole list that was just going a minute ago? I said, the minute Jesus laid down next to you, that stuff started coming up and moving through the glass. It was like permeable glass. It went right through the glass. He didn't have to call out his own name. He didn't have to say in the name of Jesus. He is Jesus. Just him being next to her there in the presence. I heard that about this presence stuff. It's in the Holy Spirit presence. I'm telling you this testimony because you can, I know y'all have a glass wall. If you've hit it, and if you haven't, there's more glass walls. And he'll come and he'll lie down next to you. And this stuff starts coming up out of her. I could see it. It looked like a misty, foggy thing, like you didn't want to touch it. Went through the glass, and it was interesting. The minute it got through the glass, it realized that it shouldn't have left. And it turned to come back through the glass, and it was like their faces were mashed up against the glass. Couldn't come back. This close. Nope. Because when Jesus is present, you know, we carry the body of Christ within us. We have Jesus, that Christ within us. There's another verse. I think it's in, I don't know where it's at. Well, we didn't do it, but it might be Philippians. But we've got to stir ourselves up. We've got to be reminded. We need a vision. We need something that becomes real. I hope the glass wall is real. Because you, as good as you are, you aren't that good without the Holy Spirit. Have you ever seen people? Oh, I've got to tell you this story. Craig told me this great story. It was Aunt Kai. If you ever knew Aunt Kai Eshelman, who we adored her. I grew up with her. It was Sarah's dad. And they were walking up a stairwell after they were at a family camp and they were at a meeting or something. They were coming up a stairwell. And Aunt Kai was a bigger gal. And Craig was kind of standing up the top of the stairs, and he's watching, and they're just chatting and talking. And Aunt Kai trips, and she's going down. And I mean, you know, like the timber down kind of deal. And Craig said, I'm watching it. And he said, the minute she started to go down, she said, I don't accept this in the name of Jesus. Like she immediately, I don't accept this in the name of Jesus, instantly. And he said, she hit and literally bounced back. He said, and kept walking. He said she should have been down, hit forward, bounces back up, and keeps going and never misses a step. Now, that's how angels help you when you hit the wall. I'm not sure she even hit the wall. Was that true with the story? Yeah, hit it, whoop. There you go, back up she goes. First thing she called, the name of Jesus. He said she started talking at the same point of the conversation and they just kept going. I thought, Lord, give me some faith like that. Train my mouth to respond like that. The whole kingdom is out for us, right? Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Well, why do we want to die to self? Why does he talk about this dying thing? Because the point is to exalt the worth of Jesus Christ. It's to exalt the worth of Jesus Christ. Remember when I said everything is backed by Jesus? He has to carry weight like gold to back something. We've got to recognize the worth of Jesus Christ. That's why people that say, well, I say in the name of Jesus all the time and nothing ever happens. I did that for years of my life. Because I did not have a relationship with Jesus that exalted him and gave him the true value of his worth. Does that make sense? Oh, yeah. Then everything will change on a dime. what is the worth of Jesus Christ? And when that is real to us, then you're like Paul. Here's what Paul says in Philippians 3:8. I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value, the worth of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. It doesn't matter that your car got repossessed. Woohoo! I don't care if you ran a red light. You know, I think Laura Bush is a really great lady. I've read her biography. I think she is a great woman of character and integrity. And when she was in high school, she was driving to a dance with her friends, and she ran a stop sign out in the country in Midland, Texas, and hit and killed one of her classmates in another car. And people say, well, you have to live with that all your life. And she said, I have gone past that in my life because of Jesus. I get chills. The worth of Christ is more than that mistake that changed a whole lot of people's lives. What's your mistake? It should be a fleeting, it should only come up to be addressed by it doesn't matter, because it is backed by the value and the worth of Christ. Father, we just thank you, thank you, thank you that you have given us a Savior named Jesus who we know him. Like we know you, we interact with you both, and we ask for more revelation and more wisdom that we would know the value and the worth of what he did for us, what he continues to do for us. The sacrifice has been paid, and yet he still is on watch for us. He still sends the angels out for us. He has got a good plan. Father, we want to support our brother Jesus in the building of your church, the building of the family. All this other stuff is dung. It doesn't matter. Christ is what matters. Jesus is what's mattering to us in our hearts. And we know you've got a plan for us in spite of all the things that we miss. We know you love us. You're giving us popsicles. Mm-mm-mm. I just saw Jesus hand me a red popsicle. That just made me happy. What would you like Jesus to hand you? Father, in the name of Jesus, we acknowledge what you do in us and through us and around us because we acknowledge Jesus. And we are not going to drop that ball to acknowledge him, to make him known. And Jesus, we're so thankful for all you've done. We give you honor and glory. And I want you to read your poem again, because that was the Lord that said that you write poetry. I did not know that about Hayward. Hayward looked a little shocked when I asked him that. He was like sifting through his mind of what is she wanting me to do. But when you read that, I would like to have that and travel with that. We should put in our newsletter. I tell you, that seals the day today. Thank you, Hayward.
If asked what I would like to hear the Father's voice and Son so clear, if asked what I would like to be, a son so free with Christ in me. If asked what I would like to do, set men free and heal them too. If asked what I would like to feel, the Father's love so close and real. If asked what I would like to say, come taste and see the Father's way. If asked what I would like to share, the Father's love and constant care. If asked what I would like to see, my Jesus' face beholding me. If asked what I am waiting for, my Lord's return forevermore.
Put your hand over your heart. I don't care which hand. Doesn't matter. I want you to picture Jesus. And he's hugging us. Each one of us, he's hugging us. And as he's hugging us, every one of us has something that thinks it's more important than Jesus, that feels weighty, that feels like it's a matter of the utmost importance. And it may be something that you need to address and take care of. That's absolutely a real thing. But when Jesus is in our presence, he's literally hugging each of us. Can you feel the weight of that? It should dissipate. Jesus, we ask for clarity through the fog, that the fog would lift. We minister spiritual vision, that our ears are opened in the spirit, that our eyes are not blinded, that we don't have sleeping masks on, that we are not in darkness, but the light is coming through in these situations. No matter how weighty it appears, we just let the presence of Jesus allow it to soften, allow the situations and the people to become malleable to the moving of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was malleable to the Spirit of God. When the Spirit rested upon him, he was malleable. He allowed it to move and work with him. Lord, allow us to be malleable, to not be weighted. We're not bobbing for air in a swimming pool, drowning while everyone is watching. Lord, loose your angels and allow us to receive them into our life, that we'll be malleable with the kingdom and allow you to move with all the weapons of warfare that you've given us, that we address it, we acknowledge it, we allow it. Just take a deep breath. All those things that do not need to be named through the glass wall. And that's not a two-way door. They're not allowed back. We're not trafficking the other kingdom. They get a red light every time. Father, give us more revelation and more wisdom, and allow us to receive from our brothers and sisters around us, and give us that wise heart, Father, that we would bring things before you into the throne room and let our plans originate from the map room in the throne room, in the name of Jesus. Amen. And I want to say hello to Susie and Gil. Gil's not here, but Susie Heckel. They have moved here from Columbia, Missouri. And that was exciting. There's a testimony there, isn't there? Yeah, he called after camp last year and he said, "We're supposed to be here." You know, and I don't take that lightly, because I pray for more help, more people that minister out of love. I'd rather not put an ad in the paper. I'd rather him send folks to us. And Susie and Gil were one of those couples that said, "We want to come. We just want to be there. Anything we can do, anything we can help, we believe the Lord is saying to come." And, you know, I know folks come and they expect lights and you know, big building, and I don't know what they'll expect, but we can guarantee love and opportunity here and a whole lot of Jesus. All right. Yes, and the scholarships with Yes Camp, that's a big deal. Over half that camp is scholarshiped. So let me say to you, anything you want to send to support them, you know, $300 can be a lot of money to folks, but $25, $50, whatever it is, send it, put your name on it and what you want it to go towards, and we'll get that camp scholarship. So we had close to 100 of us here last year from 18 states, and over 25 of those young people we had never met before. So, you know, we do a whole lot of things through the year, but I count that as worthy of the cost of Christ, those young people. Their lives forever changed when we spend that week together. So sure love you guys.
Christian Family Fellowship Ministry would like to thank you for listening to this recording of our Sunday service. If you would like to partner with us in your giving, you can go to www.cffm.org and use the Give tab, or you can use your cell phone and text to give at area code 937-502-2999. All donations to Christian Family Fellowship are tax deductible. If you'd like to receive free CDs of our weekly service, you can register on our webpage under the Contact Us tab. They are also available as a podcast on iTunes, or you can download them or listen to them on our webpage. Thank you for your generosity and support for the broad efforts of Christian Family Fellowship Ministry, as together we bring God's Word and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ to our world.